following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Good morning. A little background about where we're from and what's this about. Our sister church, or the church that we grew out of, is based in Vancouver, called the Vancouver Christian Assembly, which started in the 70s by a few brothers and sisters coming in from Taiwan and from Hong Kong, where they needed a place to gather and worship the Lord. And over the years, they have just grown into an assembly. They've bought buildings and moved into bigger buildings. By the time that two or three years ago, when they reached capacity at the current building, they wanted to make a decision: should we expand to a bigger building or should we branch out? And the decision came out to branch out, basically because the amount of Chinese population that is booming in South Surrey, White Rock area, and there's a number of our brothers and sisters who live here and commute to Vancouver on a weekly basis. They go to their prayer meeting, Bible study meeting, Sunday worship, and all the other gatherings. It become a very cumbersome journey for them. So the church made a decision that we would branch out into Surrey. So our church is not a subsidiary to the Vancouver Assembly, where we are parallel in the spiritual sense, and we govern ourselves. And like Eric said in the morning, we started out in the elementary school not far from here. And because of the use of the building is not meant for a church gathering, and so we've been, ever since we got there, we started growing as well. So when we reached about the 100 people point, we realized we need another location. That's when we came here and found that you had an open door for us. So we came in. Basically, we are probably, as far as I know, one of the fewer churches that has a gospel-oriented Sunday worship service every week, not every week, once a month. So every fourth Sunday, we come here and we invite the unbelievers and the newcomers and the people who does not yet know the Lord. We invite them here. We will tell them about the gospel. And then afterwards, we will use your nice area and have a dinner together and to share with them more on their personal journey with the Lord and how things are. So we are evangelical-based, heavily gospel-oriented. And also, as I mentioned to a brother out on the foyer this morning, we look to the Bible as our guidance. We do not look to any man's wisdom or any method of doing things, but whatever is in the Bible, I will say we do our best. Humans have flaws. Humans are flawed with following the Lord, but we do our best to keep the word of the Lord. And so that's the background of our church. I am 32 years old, a father of three, 6, 4, and 1-year-old kids. So like Eric said, I love the Lord because I realize the Lord has immense love for me. When I was about 20 years old, when I went to university, a friend shared the gospel with me, and I came to know the Lord ever since. As I shared to all the friends that around me, never felt sorry for this decision, never wanted to go back to be an unbeliever. The Lord has shown great love to me, to my family, and to our church. And we, on behalf of South Surrey Christian Assembly, we would like to thank you for your kindness and in allowing us to come and use your building. It's such a privilege that we're able to be here. With that said, we will. I don't know why you guys choose this particular this topic. When we got the invitation from Eric, our church has we don't have pastors. We don't have full-time ministers. There's four of us, me included. Four brothers are mainly responsible for the spiritual growth of our congregation. As soon as we got the invitation, the three brothers threw me under the bus, saying, "Barry, you're up." So I really don't know why you picked that chapter, but like I said, I was given 20 minutes. I'm probably halfway there already. I will do my best to pick out a few points that speaks to me. First Thessalonians chapter 5, in my opinion, is a continuation of chapter 4, which toward the end of chapter 4 speaks of a hope that are unique to Christian believers. A hope that is not found anywhere else, a hope, a peace, a desire to be with the Lord that the unbelievers and the people who does not know the Lord Jesus cannot find and will not understand. I begin by saying this. I think 2 years ago, right, Iris? That's when Brother Gong, Kevin, passed away. So about 2 years ago, one of our responsible brothers, Kevin, that was his name, he passed away, leaving his wife and two very young children, three and one at a time, I believe. That night, before or after his funeral, our church gathered together. We had a prayer service, and everybody was terrible. It was deep in sorrow. Because we don't understand why he died of a cancer. We don't understand why. We don't know how the family was going to carry on. And I remember distinctively that night, as I kneeled down and listened to all the brothers and sisters pray, and toward the end, I was asking the Lord to give me something to comfort me. And the Lord gave me a verse out of Romans 14. And verse 8, it says, "For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." Okay, so that gave me immense comfort. And that was the first thing that I thought of when I looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because whether we are alive or whether we have passed away to be with the Lord, we are the Lord's. And that is a great comfort, because the Lord, while he was here, he said to his disciples that, "I love you, and I love you to an extent, to the uttermost extent," right? He loved us. He gave his life for us. He died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried. He resurrected so that we can have a new life. Not only that, In John chapter 14, verse 2, if you could start going with the slides. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm now leaving you. I go to prepare a place for you, right? Not only prepare a place for you, but there's going to be a day that I'm going to come back and take you to there. But be careful, right? Last line, right? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also be where I am. So one of the big misconceptions for us is that we're focusing on afterlife is where we are going. Okay, I think, in my opinion, it's not so important where we're going, like what is the place called. It's called heaven. For the case of the other thief dying with the Lord called it, "You will be with me in paradise." It doesn't matter what it's called, but what is important is that who we're with. And the Lord is very specific. The Lord saying, "Yes, I'm going to take a place, to a place. The place has many rooms, big mansions, great place. But more important is where I am, there you will be also." It's the presence with the Lord Jesus himself that makes this new place very special for us. It's not. It makes me think that the Lord is not going to take us to a place where he is absent. Okay, and then if that has golden street, pearl streets and trees that's everlasting, like it says in Revelation chapter 21. You know, you have a great city that's built on 12 layers of precious jewels or foundations, and the Christ, the Lord himself, is absent.
He doesn't want us to be there. He is going to take us to a place that he is there. He is present there. So as we all know that the Lord, 2,000 years ago, he came once. And that's in Hebrews chapter 9. There's a an explanation of that. So Hebrews 9:28 says, "And so Christ also offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation." So the first time the Lord Jesus came for our sins, he died on the cross for our sins. Now the Bible records this way, he's going to come for a second time, not for our sins, because Christ is only going to sacrifice himself once, and once in the book of Hebrews is enough. He shed his blood, and that is enough. That is enough to atone for our sins in the past, current, and in the future, and for all mankind. Okay? But the Lord is going to come for the second time. He's going to come for our salvation. Salvation of what, my brothers and sisters? And that is in Thessalonians chapter 5. That's in my opinion. The Lord is coming. Chapter 5 of Thessalonians begin with this. "But concerning the time and the season, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, and labor pain upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of day, and you are not of the light of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him." I don't know if you have experienced this thief coming to your house in the middle of the night. I heard an elderly brother, he shared me when he was very young. He was living with a few of his family members, and one night, in the middle of the night, his mother wake him up, and he said, come and look, there are police and torches and with torches and search dogs, and everybody's on the street looking for somebody. So they got up, and they crawled to the window, and they were looking. For half an hour, they see policemen going into the house and coming out into the other house, coming out into the, so searching down, up and down the street. And then for a while, and then the mother said, "I'm thirsty. I'm going to go down and get a cup of tea." So she went down the stairs, and a few moments later, and the kids upstairs heard, scream. Guess what? The thief is in their house. Brothers and sisters, do we know the hour that the thief come to our house? We're not expecting it. So this is the kind of the hour that the Lord metaphorically put it. Okay, it's when we say, "Oh, this is not going to happen to me. This is going to happen to somebody down the street. The thief is not going to come to my house. It's going to come to somebody else's house." Are we ready? Are we sober enough? Are we awake enough that we realize that, oh, today he might come to my house? Okay, so this is the reality. This is the reality of things. But our brother Paul started with concerning the days. Okay, nobody knows, but we should not speculate on the day and the time of the coming of the Lord. I think that's a given, but I should just mention that. If anybody, even I've met brilliant scientists who later on turn to Christians, and they know numbers, they do their calculations, and they just throw down into the numbers, and they bring you to a formula, and they say, "This is the result of my research. Christ is going to come so and so day." Shrug him off. call him a brother because he calls the Lord his Savior, and I will call him a brother, but I cannot fellowship with him on the day and the time of the Lord's coming. And that's reserved strictly for the Lord and strictly reserved for the Father's business. But we should, regardless of not knowing the time, but we should know, looking at all the signs and all the things that's been happening around us, you know, with the establishment of the State of Israel in the 1948, and with all the things that's been happening, we should know that because of the Lord Jesus said, when you see the fig trees are budding and have giving out fruits, you will know that the Son of Man is near, just at the door, right? So when we see these things, when we see the sign that the summer is near, then we should, when we see that, we should have this mindset that the Lord is coming. He is at the footstep. He is at the doorstep. Brothers and sisters, are we ready? And verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. Who sleeps? What is the state of sleepiness? Sleepiness is when you lie down and you're not doing anything, correct? Okay, so what does that mean in spiritual sense is that you're not growing. You're not doing anything for the Lord. You are in a steady state. You have tasted the Lord is good. You have seen the greatness of the Lord, and you are satisfied. You're not growing in the Lord. You're not dwelling in his words. You're not fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. And if we find ourselves in that state, we need to be sober. If we ever find ourselves in a steady state where we realize all our knowledge came from years of Bible study in the past and nothing afresh, nothing the Lord has revealed to me this morning when I did my devotional. Brothers and sisters, this is the time that we need to think, am I sleeping? Should I need to wake up? Okay. And drunkenness, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. Okay, sorry. Where is it? Sleep. Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. Drunkenness is that we cover, it's a cover-up, basically, because you're influenced by something else rather than your normal state of mind. You are, perhaps none of us are drunk this morning as of yet. Don't get drunk at the hot dog stand. But... But what is drunkenness for the Christian believers? What does that mean in the Bible? Is that we fill our hearts with something other than Christ himself, okay? We fill our hearts, we occupy our minds with something other than the Lord himself. I believe Paul said this in Colossians chapter 3 in the beginning, that he said, set your mind on things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Lord. Don't put your mind on things in this world. And this is what Paul says here as well in Thessalonians, is that look at the times. Look at the times that Christ is coming. All these things will pass. All these things that you hold so dearly today will pass. This building will pass. These books and all these, we will pass, okay? Nothing will be the same. Nothing remains the same on the day of the Lord. But and therefore, Paul encouraged us to not fool ourselves, okay? To not take anything to replace the place of Christ that is in our heart, right? Don't cover Christ up with something else. Don't get... Paul worked, right? If you remember remember his own testimony, he said, I have to make a living by knitting nets. So Paul worked with his own hands. He was working. He didn't say, you should lay down all your things. Let's all go to a mountain and wait on certain days. The Lord is coming. Okay, he's not teaching that. He's teaching that while in your daily lives, do not remain stagnant. Do not be drawn to the things of this world. Be mindful of the business of the Lord. Okay? And that's that. My emphasis actually today is on verse 10. Verse 10 says, he died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. And I think the key word I want to emphasize is live. because I think 2 weeks ago our church had a baptism for some new brothers and sisters, 25 in total. That include the Vancouver assembly as well. And during baptism, it's customary for the leading brothers to tell the people who are getting baptized and telling them that, you know, today is a good day, it's a happy day for you. But remember this, baptism is not the beginning, is not the end of your Christian life. Don't think of this as a graduation ceremony where your family and friends are gathered together to congratulate you. This is not the graduation ceremony. This is just the beginning. And when I came back and I teach the high school, Sunday school here, and I asked the kids, I said, if that's the beginning, what is the end? I was thinking this verse. Okay, the end obviously is, you know, when the Lord comes or when we go be with the Lord, whichever comes first. But the answer surprised me. One of the girls who was baptized a day before told me the answer. And she said, I thought Christian life doesn't end. And I thought that was a brilliant answer, because live, that English word with the present tense, will go on and on and on. It does not end. And remember at the beginning, I quoted you that verse in John. The Lord said, I will take you to a place to be present with me, right? So the Lord is present. The Lord himself, who is the creator of heaven and earth, who is the our Savior, will live with us forever and ever. He is present. And that is the state that he wants us to be, not only for the people who has fallen asleep, okay? Because if someone who has died and to be with the Lord, then they will be physically and whatever state present with the Lord forever. But for us, you know, at the beginning of the worship, you guys sing a few psalms, you know, that express, you know, our love toward, our gratitude toward the love of our Lord. That is great. That is great. But Paul continued on, of all the verses that came after verse 10, and I counted 22 military commandment style of commandments, okay? It's like Paul is shouting out commandments. Yeah, comfort each other, edify one another, urge your brothers and sisters, love one another, things like that. 22 in total. I'm not going to go into the 22 in detail, okay? But all of all the 22 came out of verse 10, that we may, for those of us who are still alive, we need to live with the living Lord today. Okay, that his life is in us, that we need to live with the Lord today. Okay, and I turn your attention to verse 23. Okay, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you're looking at yourself, you feel you are made, you are complete, okay? I don't know if you feel you're perfect. I don't, okay? I don't. If I compare myself with that list of 22 things, I'm even more or less complete, okay? But I have this hope, and our brother Paul gave us this hope. He who called us is faithful. He will do this. He will turn us from this incomplete. Mind you, take yourself back a step. Before you met the Lord, we are sinners. We had no business to do with God. We had no business to do with completeness. Okay? Our Lord will work in us to a state that he will call us perfect and complete as he is. Okay? And brothers and sisters, yes, the list of commandment is long, and the things to do is long, and the order of business is deep. You know, to be sober, to be not drunk, to be on guard for the coming of the Lord at all time. That can be a burden for us. And if when we look at ourselves, and we can honestly say, Lord, I cannot achieve that standard find somebody else. I cannot achieve that standard. But the Lord said, I called you, and I will do this in you. And that is our faith. That is our faith. The Lord is doing such a thing in us that he is making us spirit, soul, and body complete in him. Our spirit has been made complete once we decided that we want to follow the Lord Jesus, that our spirit is awakened. That is the salvation of our spirit. Our body will be made perfect when the Lord comes, and he will give us an incorruptible body. That's at the end of 1 Corinthians letter. Our soul is being made complete. As we do all these, as we love our brothers, as we encourage others, have long patience, long suffering, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Okay, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies. As we do all these things, as we turn our hearts to the Lord and away from the things that entangles us, as we give more and more of our heart, our effort, our mind to the Lord himself, he is doing this work and he is completing us a step at a time. 22 things, one step at a time. And this is our immense hope. Those brothers and sisters the Lord has taken to him, bless them, because they are, according to Paul, at a far better place. But for those of us who yet remains, and the Lord is taking us to a far better place. But in this process, he wants us to be more like him. He wants us to be more, have his holiness, his completeness, his love, his joy. So that's the order of business today, I think. Wherever we are, either here or there, we are with the Lord, and we are the Lord's. And that's the work that he is doing in us. So with that, I leave you. Can we go to 2 Peter chapter 3? So this is also the day of the Lord. Just a parallel quote, 2 Peter chapter 3. A verse that I quite enjoy. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and good and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heaven will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwelleth. Brothers and sisters, we have a hope, and it's very unique. And we, as much as we love the Lord here today, and I think you can join in me in saying this, that, Lord, come. Come sooner, Lord. Take us to that better place. But while he delays, we need to get ready. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us such a knowledge that you did not leave us here to be orphans, and that you're sending your Son once again to come and take us to that glorious place, to the place where your presence will be forever with us. Father, as we ponder upon these words, Lord, we just want to pray that you will guard our hearts, and you will keep our minds more close to you. Lord, help ourselves be more mindful of your business, more thinking of your work, and love the people that you love. Lord, give us such a heart that we look to the future, but yet we say, the Lord is delaying, and he's keeping us here, and let us be sober, and let us be watchful, and let us be on guard for the coming of the Lord, because the Lord, you are coming. And Lord, how much so we desire that you're coming soon. So Lord, help us. Help us to be more and draw near to you and be more of your likeness. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.